This is part two of our interview with Jeffrey, who was the treasurer of Best Alumni Network. In this part, you learn how Jeffrey decided where to live, what the World Championship Pub Quiz has to do with Jeffrey, and many more topics. And now, part two of our interview with Jeffrey.
I'm a software developer, and about 4 years ago, I made a decision to move from Netherlands to Germany because I thought, okay, I've traveled so much with Best and I've seen so much of foreign countries, but I've never actually lived in one. And I decided, okay, I have a job, but I can find a new job. I have no wife or kids, or I rent a house, but I don't own one. So I can easily pack my stuff and go. And then I made a list of places where I wanted to move to or could potentially move to. And I can put down London, Berlin, Tallinn, Copenhagen, Vienna, Barcelona, you know, places where they have, where life can be good, but very different places where life can be good in very different ways. This was about 5 years ago I thought about this, in 2016, and then in late 2016 I made the decision to move, and I decided on Berlin for various reasons, because that's cycling. It's not as good as I want it to be, but you can bicycle here. I really like my sports activity like that. Good jobs. The language is difficult, but not too difficult for a Dutch person. It's very easy to pick up, but with some mistakes here and there. Good jobs, good transportation. Finally, a good airport, but now the price coming.
It's very important for me. I'm not sure how is it for you, but...
Well... Okay, back in the Netherlands, there was Amsterdam Airport and Eindhoven Airport, and it was really, really easy. I need to go somewhere. Okay, which one has a cheap flight? Okay, and goodbye. Here, I was like, okay, there used to be Tegel Airport, which is in the northwest of the city, and it was Schönefeld in the southeast. They closed down Tegel now, and Schönefeld became the Berlin-Brandenburg Airport after a long time, like more than a decade of delays. And it has some good flights coming in and out. Decent enough that I can travel somewhere if I want to. Because otherwise it would be Frankfurt, and Frankfurt is on the other side of the country and far away.
Before we go further, just a question on my side was, how did you choose your profession? Because one of the reasons is that, you know, we are all coming from university background. So after university, is this something that you studied in the university and then it was a natural progression?
I've always done some programming since I was a little, well, not a little kid, but like, you know, teenager.
Yeah.
At least. Mm-hmm. So I started studying computer science back in 2002. That didn't really work out. I studied some other things in between, but in the end, I did not finish any bachelor degree. And then a friend of mine said, you know how to program, join me in my company. So I started working for my friend's company, a PHP developer. And from there on, we then wanted to downsize back to only being a freelancer. So I moved to a new company in Utrecht. And from then on, I was, okay, I'm now a software developer. That's what I do. It earns me money and I'm good at it. So it kind of, you know, it's not my dream job. That would be traveling, but you know, whose isn't? But I enjoy it enough. It pays enough, and I can do it. I'm good at it, so that's what I do.
And what do you like about software development?
I like when I build stuff, and I can point it and say that's what I built. And I could have gone with the construction, but I'm not very strong, so I'm not an architect. I cannot draw, but I'm good in software development. I can get my ifs and my for loops, and you know, my code in a nice order, and I can say, okay, look, I built this website, or look, I built this API. I made sure that this data is being transformed into this format, and without all the private information inside, so that somebody else can use this. And or look, I worked in when I lived in Utrecht, I worked for a sports data company, and we built stuff for sports APIs. So if somebody scores, one person sits down and says, okay, Marcus Rashford from Manchester United, I think, scored, click, and boom, okay. And then comes a whole process and an API, and then we say, on a website, on a news website, say, our stuff, somebody scored. Cool. And I can say, aha, I did this thing. This is what I did. But I like that. I like to be able to point and say, okay, what you see now? My stuff. So that's what I like. I really like building stuff.
And how did you start in programming?
I mean, why when you're a small child, you do programming when you did not play football, for instance, or cycling?
Like I said, I wasn't a small child. I was more like a teenager, yes. But
or teenager,
I saw a book in my dad's library about programming in Pascal. That's the first thing I started with. Like really? Really a little bit. Okay, that's very complicated because it's Pascal, where you have to declare all your variables beforehand and exactly your types. And so that's what I started with. Then I started building a bit with JavaScript, PHP, and stuff when I was a teenager. And then a few years later, like a friend of mine said, okay, you know a bit of this. Yes, it's changed a bit, PHP, of course, but you know, here you go. Okay. And I started working at his company, and then I grew into a developer. So, yeah. And of course, internet forums, I guess. Nowadays, Stack Overflow is a big software development website. Yeah.
So is somebody from your family, let's say your father, your mother, a programmer? Because what I'm hearing is that you found this book because somebody was bought it before that, right?
My mother was a saleswoman at a bakery, and then afterwards a housewife. My father, more like system administrator in the military of the Netherlands. My brother is a chemist. So also not really, yes. Affinity with science, but more than a spreadsheet I wouldn't give him for like programming, which is good because he's a chemist, so he does other stuff. He knows how to do work in a laboratory lab, and I don't know.
But you still had a Pascal book in his library, so yeah. It kind of is where he started.
Exactly. That's where I started a long time ago.
So was it something encouraged by your parents? Because you know what people say, that when you're like a teenager and spend too much time on the computers, your parents are not very happy with that, and they say go out and play. Were you encouraged in a way from your parents to pursue these things?
So not really, not encouraged, but also not really, you know, how to say it, discouraged. My mom is a housewife, so she was mostly at home, but she doesn't know anything about computers. So she was like, what you doing? Games? Okay. How are your grades? Good. Okay. Yeah, well. So that was like, okay, the computer is my domain more than her domain, so I just do my stuff.
Okay. So they didn't stop you to pursue what you want as long as you had a good grades in your school?
Yes, pretty much. I mean, she doesn't really know what I was doing. And nowadays, of course, the internet was still like, you know, I got internet when I was 14, 15, cable internet. And it was still, of course, the late 90s. So it wasn't as invasive as today with all the banners and the cookies and the tracking. It was just, you have a website, you visit the website, you have Alta Vista, you search for something, you get something.
Alta Vista.
Oh, yeah, there was.
Yeah. You have but they had a modem. To talk to your friends, or ICQ or IRC, and that's about it.
Memories. Yeah, I had a modem. I didn't have a cable that time. You need to call a special number and then the modem.
Yeah, I had the modem as well. Yeah. Then my mom was angry at me because she couldn't talk in the phone while I was in the meeting.
Yeah.
I was like, ah, stop!
So, oh, likewise.
My parents
likewise.
Didn't want that, so they only decided to go for cable internet when cable internet came, which is like late 90s in Netherlands. Netherlands is a small country, so it was easy to get cable everywhere.
Nice. I mean, what you're hearing from it's very interesting about this intrinsic motivation to study a program language because you found it quite interesting. And then throughout years, basically the knowledge that you gained from your teenager years, it's something that gave you the background or the solid foundations to your current profession then, in a way.
Yeah, well, That's pretty much it. Yes, like I started programming and then never stopped. After the 8 hours per day, then mm-hmm. I stopped and have coffee.
So, crazy question. What's your favorite programming language?
Favorite programming language?
Yes.
Oof. So, in my last job, I did some Java, and now I'm back to PHP again. And I miss now things from Java, but when I was doing the Java, I was missing big things from PHP. So, I don't know yet. I do like where PHP is going. If you really know a bit more about PHP, it is weak typed, which means a variable can be any kind of thing. It can be a number, it can be a bit of text. But nowadays, it's becoming more strong typed. I say, okay, this one I want to be a piece of text, and this one I really want to be like a whole number. So yeah, that I like the way that's going. I like how it's going moving forward. I don't have a particular favorite programming language as such. I like PHP. I can work in it. I can work in Java. I know some JavaScript. So those are the languages I'm familiar with. I've seen and written some Python, but not so much. I really like the simplicity of it, but yeah. Favorite programming languages, whatever I can solve my problems in easiest.
And which kind of some type of problem that you were more interested in solving with programming? So do you work more on the web or more on... Or is this just an accident that you work more on the web, or would you be interested in like more? Well,
the web is quite big, so yeah. When most people, the people who don't work IT, think of the web, they see the front end, they see the website, they see how if I click here, you see the menu coming up, and you can click there, and you see a gallery of pictures of a product you want to buy. You see a shopping cart. So that's the front end of side of things where you see all these things, okay. I'm not really into that. I know about it, I know how it works, but you don't want me to design. but I'm mostly in the back end. So like if I click this, if I click this product and add it to cart, it will be maintained in a cart. And then I have a shop, I click on paying, and then there's an interaction with a payment provider. For example, PayPal. Click. So then you have like the computer, the shop, and PayPal, and those three have to interact with each other through specified communication methods and protocols. And I really like working on that. I really like, okay, I have an API, it is called. So basically it says an API is an instruction to another application saying, okay, I want you to do this and this. And then you first authenticate that, okay, I am my website, I want to do something. But PayPal, I want to transfer money. Please, here is the data. Okay, you give it back. I give something back. I do that with something with the customer. And it's very. I really like the communication between different systems and make it work. So that's where I usually work in, like API kind of thing.
Okay. And if you can shift the discussions a little bit in a different direction. Because I'm going to piggyback on what you mentioned before, that work is there, but also there should be some balance and something to do besides work to rejuvenate yourself and your energy. And what I'm seeing here is that you're actually, or you are in the past, a youth trainer at a scuba diving club. So can you tell us a little bit about how did that happen?
Ooh, that's like 2 decades ago.
2001, I guess. You're really young there.
Yeah, this is like childhood training. I cannot train scuba diving. I only did snorkeling training. I'm not a scuba diving instructor. Uh-huh. I have a scuba diving degree or diploma for open water, mm-hmm. which means I can go into the sea with another person and go to like 15, 16 meters and scuba dive, which is nice. Mm-hmm. But it basically happened. My brother wanted to do scuba diving when he was like 12, 13, I don't know. But he couldn't yet because he was still too young and it was tricky. But there was snorkeling already in a sports club in my city. So mm-hmm. he went there. When I was a bit older, I joined basically and also went for snorkeling. And then you became older. Okay, you cannot be with the youth anymore, but while we're looking for trainers to train the young ones. So that's basically what I did. So like I just grew into it from family out, from my family, so okay. You know, 1 hour a week of keeping a few kids busy with some techniques, wasn't really that special, but yeah, my private area profile has been not really updated in like a long time.
But yeah, it's on your LinkedIn as well, you know.
It gave me my first taste of standing before a group and explaining something, which is always a nice skill to have, to be able to talk publicly to people.
And why you did not stick to scuba diving then? Is it just because you're helping your young brother?
I started studying. So I started studying, and then I moved from my hometown Breda to Eindhoven, and I didn't want to go back and forth every week just for 2 hours for this, even though it is only 1 hour.
You can travel 2 hours you can travel 2 hours in the Netherlands. Oh my goodness!
No, I didn't want one hour back, 1 hour forth. So. But also only for 2 hours in the Friday evenings, and I need to work. We had a student job the next day, so no. That's part of it. The other reason is I have bad ears. If I go underwater for a long time, deeper, I really need to make sure my ears work. And that's a bit tricky. And I noticed the last week already, I need to go to the doctor Tuesday to get them checked, my ears. Because if they go under pressure, they really, really do pain. I can't really... I don't know how it's called in English. Klaren, just... You can breathe through your nose, make sure that your ears pop a bit, or, you know, the pressure inside the ears and outside is the same. And I have problems with this when I go underwater. So 1 meter is fine, 2 meters is fine, but once I go below 5 meters, the pressure gets too high and I have pain in my ears and I can't always rectify this.
I see.
So currently I'm actually looking for, I was busy with trying to learn how to, use a boat, motorboat, and maybe also sailing. So rather than being underwater, I'll be on top of the water.
Cool.
And have a boat, and that's my next steps. That's something I will do after my treasury ship. It will be like, okay, it's summer. I will go for sailing or for a motorboat again and get my my license for that.
So I'm looking forward to have Jeffrey the captain.
Yes. But let's see. Berlin has a few lakes and rivers, but not the sea, you know. But still, lakes and rivers also fine for like the first part. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to get started.
Yeah.
And cycling. I mean, you also talk a lot about cycling.
Maybe before the cycling, I was keeping this one, Edu, maybe before the cycling, I see it as well, that there's something in 2007, which is participant of World Championship Pub Quiz. And since you're Jeffrey Van Beers.
Jeffrey, you need to tell us the story of the beers and everything. Like,
pub quiz?
2007 participant World Championship pub quiz.
Yeah, so that was funny. Just like apparently that you have bars, you know about them, and they sometimes quizzes, you know, like every week they have a quiz about something. They started when I was a student with a few friends going to one of those places and do quizzes. Apparently there was a World Championship quiz, so they called it like this because there are teams from everywhere coming. For which you could apply and qualify through this local bar. And we made it through until like the top five could go there and be one of the top five teams across like several months. Okay. So we went there and then, you know, halfway across the Netherlands and spent an afternoon there and participated in the World Championship. Whoa. Yeah. <Woo-hoo. laughs> It sounds more interesting than just what basically was. Basically, of pop quizzes across various places, and then the better teams go to a bigger final for one afternoon.
And that was in the Netherlands, or where
it was in
the
Netherlands?
Final?
Yes, like I don't know, Amsterdam. I think it was Amsterdam where we did it.
And how did you end up? Did you
somewhere Not on the podium.
Oh.
Not in the top three. I mean, we're just a group of students, so I guess we were like, there were maybe 200 teams, so I guess 140, maybe 98, I don't know. Like, somewhere in the middle. Like, yeah, okay, this is fun, but, you know.
Yeah, I guess it's a one-time experience there. And is this like a normal, is this a common family name? I mean, let's just maybe close the topic with the beers and pubs that you have.
Yes, it's fairly common. Wait, let me see, show your website.
Because I guess if you were in student organization, your family name has a Van Beers inside. Most probably people expect you to drink only beers all the time. Is this true? Or you drink something else?
Yeah, but it doesn't work in Dutch. Because beer is beer. But this actually, it's from a village. And let me see if I can do this. Does it work? Wait.
From the village. Link. Okay.
There's a link. You have it. You can see the map of my
last. Oh, yeah, Bills. Yeah.
Okay.
You can see the map of my last name across the Netherlands. I'm from the south. Not on the darkest area, but a bit
okay, medium the south.
Yeah. That's where seven. You see a map, like a nice map with.
And beers is a village of 1,700 and something inhabitants. Okay.
Yeah, it's about 3,000 people, maybe a bit more. In Netherlands, I guess. So it's not that common. It's not that uncommon.
Okay. That explains the whole origin of the name then. I didn't know. So.
Do your family come from this particular village or?
Not directly. At least my grandpa was born in a village like 10, 15 kilometers from Breda, where I was growing up. So that's where my adventure to family comes from. And before that, I didn't manage or bother to find out. So yeah.
Cool.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. We would be happy to read your feedback and recommendations for future episodes. Please send us an email to beyond.best@bestalumni.net. Please subscribe to our podcast and write us a review, which would help us reach out to more people. This episode was produced with the help of our podcast editor, Jeremy. My name is Alex, and until next time, take care.